back to Hitch Wrapped. We already had our week 5 reactions, and now we're moving on to our week 6 predictions. Not much has changed in the football world in the one day since we've last talked, Rob, but I guess the one thing is that there's been serious discussion about the Davante Adams suspension.
There has been. What are your thoughts on that discussion?
I'm just thinking that, I don't know. I generally speaking, would like to keep issues that don't affect the actual football game from manifesting themselves into the lives of games, if you will, unless there's like legal repercussions. And it seems like there might be. I believe the Kansas City District Court or whatever is charging Davante with misdemeanor assault. In any event, I don't think the league is going to do much to punish. I mean, fine, maybe. Or if there is a suspension, one game. But at the end of the day, we just caught the guy at a bad moment. He was feeling, you know, really down after his team came so close to winning. And I think the media is making this out to be harsher than this really has been.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. So with that, why don't we move into our week 6 predictions.
I guess so.
Commanders at Bears.
I try not to be a homer. And I don't think this is a homer pick when I say I think the Bears are going to win.
Yeah, I don't think it's a homer pick either. I think the Bears are playing better football right now. They're at home. Will the Commanders be desperate? Sure. But at the same time, I just really, really like where the Bears are headed, and I think they're starting to figure some things out on offense.
Yeah, for me, the biggest change for why I'm like, okay, Bears are going to win, is that we're getting our number one cornerback this week. Or I guess it's not certain, but he practiced in full every day so far this week, which is a very positive sign. And yeah, the Commanders just haven't been great. I will say that passing defense has been a weak side for sure with Chicago, but I don't think that's going to be a major issue this week.
Good stuff.
49ers at Falcons. I take the 49ers. What else is there to say?
Not much. I mean, you know, what else is there to say? The 49ers are playing exceptional football right now on both sides of the ball, and the Falcons are not playing exceptional football right now on both sides of the ball. 49ers should win this one handily.
At this point, I'm just mostly curious about whether the Falcons are going to stick with Mariota or are they finally going to give Desmond Ridder a run.
It's a fair question.
Yeah, I feel like that Mariota is still playing this week, though.
Yeah. Moving on to the Patriots at the Browns.
Our first split opinion of the week. I am taking the Cleveland Browns.
And why do you have the Cleveland Browns?
I have the Cleveland Browns because they're at home, which is always helpful. I think Bailey Zappe is going to be naturally due for some regression. The fact that Damian Harris is out and it's going to be exclusively Ramondre. Maybe that doesn't even matter that much. Plenty of people have been like, oh, Ramondre is even a better player. But, you know, I just think that the Patriots are maybe going to be feeling themselves after shutting out the Lions. So they're going to be a bit in over their heads. And the Browns very much have had a rough few weeks in terms of almost winning football games. So they're definitely coming out with their A game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I could agree more. I mean, honestly, like I like your arguments, but I just think after what I just saw the Patriots do to the Lions, and granted it's the Lions, for all the strides that they've made, they're still a bit questionable in some key areas, not least of which is head coach. But like, you know, this, I don't know, man, this is a tough one. Like I could really see it going either way because the Browns, their roster is so good. And like, I love their roster so much better than I love New England's, you know, without a doubt. I just think Belichick's going to have his way with Jacoby Brissett. I mean, Brissett's spent time in New England. He knows his weaknesses. He knows his strengths. And I just think that Belichick has the advantage here, you know, just from a sheer quarterback coach matchup perspective. And I think he's going to find a way to get it done.
I think that's fair. I didn't think about the ramifications of the fact that he knows Jacoby, but I'd say that the guy has changed somewhat since being a Patriot. Nevertheless, sure. I think your points are valid as well. Coaching does matter. And Kevin Stefanski is a decent coach, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure.
Moving on. Jets at Packers. I don't like the green team that I think is going to win, but I think Gang Green is meant to lose a game now. I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers lost a football game, and how often do you see Aaron Rodgers lose two football games in a row?
Not super often, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. It's not frequent, and this is at Lambeau, and, you know, the Jets, despite their great performance winning 40-17 against the Dolphins, that was against Skylar Thompson, you know? A guy that even the Dolphins didn't want to be putting out there at QB.
Yeah, it's certainly not great. It's certainly not great at all. I'm with you here. I'm with you here. Nothing really more to say.
Yeah. All right. Jaguars at Colts. So we all know that the Jaguars have the Colts numbers in Jacksonville. But in Indianapolis, this has been more or less the Colts game to win. And I just think that the AFC South is such a mess, but there's some continuity in that mess within divisional matchups. And I think the Colts are going to avenge themselves.
I agree with all of your points. Only those same points caused me to arrive at the opposite conclusion, in that for all of the unpredictability of the wild, wild AFC South, I believe the Jags have the Colts number, and I believe that continues on Sunday. And again, I can't explain it. I haven't been able to explain it. I can't explain what the deal has been going back to 2014 with respect to their streak in Jacksonville. Obviously, this game is in Indianapolis, but it's not like a clear schematic and/or coaching advantage will only exist in one venue versus the other. So I like the Jags in this spot to upset the Colts.
I don't even know if it's not, I mean, I have to check the line. I guess it's perhaps an upset given the fact that
it might not even be an upset. LOL.
Yeah. Let's see what Vegas says on it exactly. But, yeah, I mean, it makes sense that the Jaguars, in fact, need to bounce back as well. But, yeah, I also, maybe this is minor. Okay, so it's one of those, it's the Jags are about as low of an underdog as they can be, but is technically the Colts' favorite. So, yeah, if this was a game in Jacksonville, the Jags would be favored. If it was on neutral site, it might even be Jacksonville favorite, but home field matters, at least according to Vegas. I'm still sticking with the Colts.
Moving on to the Vikings at Dolphins. Who you got here?
I have to take the Vikings.
Yeah. I am also inclined to take the Vikings, although I selected the Dolphins. That was before I put two and two together and realized that rookie Skylar Thompson is going to be starting at quarterback. Not sure how I feel about that, to be honest.
Yeah. That's fair. I mean, I'm not going to really try and convince you against the Vikings, because that's the opinion I hold. However, on the Dolphins side, they are still a decent defense, and these Vikings have been treading very closely to losses over the past several weeks.
Mm. Yeah. It's a tough world out there without your starting quarterback. It's an even tougher world out there without your starting or your second string quarterback.
It's fair, but you still chose the Patriots, you know, with their third string quarterback.
Yeah, but again, they have Belichick, and the Browns have Jacoby Brissett. Like, I feel like I feel like this is a clear quarterback mismatch, and that in the grand scheme of things, it might be a coaching push in that I trust Kevin O'Connell about as much as I trust Mike McDaniel, a.k.a. I don't know how much I can trust either one of them, although they both look promising. Then it simply becomes a matchup between Kirk Cousins and that offense versus Skylar Thompson and his offense. And I just don't know if Skylar Thompson's going to be able to get it done. So I am, as a hitch route first, I am changing my prediction live during the podcast from the Dolphins to the Vikings. And you and I are now in perfect agreement on that one.
Very well, then. Moving on. Bengals at Saints.
Mm.
I'm sure you tried really hard to rack your brain to think of a way in which the Saints win this game.
Honestly, I tried to rack my brain and think really hard of a way in which the Bengals and Ravens could play a game in which the final score was 19-17 last Sunday night. So, but at the same time, like the Bengals, they know that they dropped a really important game, and they're going to be that much more fired up, I think, to play the Saints, this coming weekend. I like the Bengals here. I think they're the better team. I think they have by far the advantage at quarterback, and I think they're going to take care of business. I really do.
See, that makes all lots of sense, but you're forgetting that the Saints have Taysom Hill, which changes everything.
It changes nothing.
Does it? Yeah, you're probably right. But if Taysom Hill gets 4 touchdowns again, you and I will be very happy campers, because I am planning on starting him over Kyle Pitts this week.
Love it.
Moving on. Buccaneers at Steelers.
Yeah. Steelers are bad. They're really, really bad.
Kenny Pickett is about to have the game of his life and still lose by double digits.
Yeah. He's really not. He's really not about to have the best game of his life. As much as I'd like to think, well, actually, I wouldn't like to think it, but as much as Steelers fans, I'm sure, would like to think it, this is not the get right matchup after you face the Bills. This is not a get right game whatsoever. This is more pain and suffering, and I think this one could be honestly very ugly.
Are you suggesting that this might be a popular survivor pick this week?
I'm suggesting that it very well might. In fact, it might have been mine had I not literally selected the Buccaneers last week to defeat the Falcons, which they just barely did. Thanks in large part to the refs. Thanks, refs.
Sometimes the refs help us. Yeah, so you have to cherish those moments because they're not going away.
Once in a blue moon.
Yeah. But I feel you. Sometimes the survivor picks are going away. One that's coming up that's going to be very popular is simply an option I'm not able to choose for the same reason you cannot. But the Steelers, this isn't their week. I don't know if they're going to have a week that's their week anytime soon, but it's not going to be this one.
Moving on to the Ravens at Giants. Again, not the kind of game that you want to overthink. I just have this feeling that the Ravens are starting to find themselves a bit. I think they're getting healthier. I think they're going to continue to get healthier over the next couple of weeks. And I think the Giants are going to be especially feeling themselves after not just an emotional win in London, but also a exhausting trip there.
I see. But here's how I'm thinking about it. The Ravens are 3-2. The Giants are 4-1. Giants are a better team. Giants at home. No way the Ravens can win. This is mathematically impossible. Because a 4 is larger than a 3, if you didn't realize that, Rob.
Yeah, okay. Shall we move on then?
No, we're not moving on because I agree with you. I do think it's going to be an interesting game, but I think your argument about health is very important. As you likely know, Tyus Bowser and David Ojabo are making appearances in practice when they hadn't been all these weeks.
The article, which the Ravens posted to their social media pages earlier today, had already received 1,000 reactions within a 12-minute period.
I mean, lots of people follow football. But yeah, lots of people have seen that news, yourself and myself included.
So, yes, very encouraging development for the Ravens, for sure.
Panthers at Rams. So I selected the Los Angeles Rams because they are at home and they are facing a team that lost their starting quarterback and their head coach and are now going to have to play their QB4, PJ Walker. How does that make you feel?
Makes me feel like the Panthers are going to find a weird way to win this game because that's always seemingly what teams do after their coach is fired.
Interesting. Well, the entire survivor pool would like to disagree with that opinion.
No, I never said that I necessarily had confidence in my pick, only that I'm going to be the guy who calls it when nobody else calls it just for the sake of calling it. Although I'm probably going to be wrong.
Okay. Well, at least you can own that now. Or if you're the one that's correct, everyone will look to you as a disciple of God.
Wouldn't mind that.
It's a pretty good position. It gets lots of benefits from what I've heard.
Indeed. Cardinals at Seahawks. Well, another game in which we are divided.
I mean, that does seem to happen pretty frequently in the modern NFL.
It does.
It can happen.
Why do you like the Cardinals?
Maybe I just want you to be wrong. I want Kyler Murray to finally have a game where he doesn't look putrid in the first quarter. And I think the Seahawks defense is a pretty ample matchup for that.
It is. And I like your train of thought there. I think the Seahawks are playing bizarrely good offensively right now. I can't explain it. I still don't know what's going on with Geno Smith, nor do I think I'll ever know what's been going on with Geno Smith. And in that vein, I like the Seahawks to eke out a close but fairly high-scoring one over their division rival, Arizona Cardinals.
Can you short on prediction strike, or can you only long players?
I'm actually not aware.
Well, you probably would be very interested in shorting Geno Smith. Nevertheless, I think that this is going to be one of those games where he takes a step back because this is not sustainable. And Kyler Murray and these Cardinals have definitely more to prove given what their roster is than what the Seahawks have to prove. The Seahawks were supposed to be playing for a top pick, and now they're just being good and, you know, ruining their tankathon. But again, players themselves will never tank.
Indeed. Indeed, they won't. Moving on to the Bills at Chiefs, game of the week, perhaps the game of the season so far.
This is the first time in Patrick Mahomes' career, I believe. Maybe not his career. Actually, maybe his career. definitely in a very long time, to say the least, that he is a home underdog.
Isn't that crazy?
Really is.
And honestly, I kind of understand why. I think from top to bottom, the Bills roster might be better, particularly on defense. But at the same time, the Bills are still banged up defensively. The Chiefs are really, really rolling at the moment. It's hard to think of a game this year in which they didn't score 30 points or they weren't knocking on the door of at least 30 points. And I just think for whatever reason, Mahomes has an eye for this team. I think he has an eye for the Bills defense. I think he knows how to play them. I think Andy Reid and his coaching staff know how to play the Bills very well. And until Josh Allen shows me otherwise, I'm inclined to go with my homeboy here.
My homeboy. That's a good one. I think Josh Allen and the Bills, respectively, have a lot more vengeance regarding this matchup because the Chiefs have had their number, particularly in the AFC divisional game. But, you know, they're going to remember that coin flip, of course, that changed their fate. And I think they're going to play with a fire that, as impressive as the Bills have been for much of the season, they haven't really had fire underneath them. It's simply been that they have outclassed their competition. This is going to be a game where they are pushing themselves to the limit, and I'm very, very excited to see that. The fact that this is not a primetime game is a travesty.
Yeah, that's what happened here, guys? What happened here?
Instead, we get to delight our eyes upon Cowboys at Eagles and Broncos at Chargers. Oh, and also, you know, Commanders at Bears. But that's like an actually good game. So
just kill me now, dude. Actually kill me now. We have to watch this Broncos offense again.
Fourth time in 6 weeks, baby.
Oh my gosh, dude. I'm not ready for it. I'm actually not ready for it. Moving on to the first of those two dreadful, potentially, primetime games. The Cowboys at Eagles. Not necessarily because the Eagles are dreadful. I mean, quite on the contrary, I think they're among the top teams of the NFL. And you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who disagrees. But, like, at some point, man, these Cowboys under Cooper Rush, they have to come down to earth, do they not?
I mean, isn't the definition of insanity seeing something happen over and over again and expecting a different result?
Pretty much, yeah.
It's a fairly small sample size of 5 games in Cooper Rush's career, but he is undefeated. I think that after 5 games has value. At first it was fluky, but now that we're at 5, that means something. Moreover, this is a divisional game, and while the Dirty Birds have a very fun home crowd, the Cowboys are always trying to play their best, and this is an incredibly important matchup for the divisional standings because these teams are neck and neck right now, at least even if you don't think they should be, they are neck and neck.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I mean, you know, all fair arguments, all fair points, and it's going to be interesting to see how this one shakes out. I have a hard time putting my faith in the Cowboys. I think the Eagles are playing great football right now, and I think they're going to put the Cowboys in their place.
I agree. I think the Eagles will win this game, but I'm just leaving the possibility open, and no matter what, I think that I think the Cowboys are going to regress, but I still think they're going to put on a show. I think this is going to be a fine game for Sunday Night Football. It is this next matchup that I am far more concerned with, honestly.
Broncos at Chargers. Blah.
You say that, yet you chose the Broncos to win this game, did you not?
I did, and that's mostly from the heart. I'm not going to lie. I really need Russell Wilson to play better so that my shares go uppity up.
Yeah, I can't blame you for holding said opinion. I cannot blame you.
But like, in all seriousness for a second, I do think the Broncos are one of those Like, if we were to treat the Broncos as a stock, right? And, like, to some extent, you can treat every NFL team as a stock over the course of the season. I see the Denver Broncos as that stock, which is on the verge of breaking out, and it could happen at any moment. And I think this torn lat, which Russ has been dealing with, has been affecting his deep ball accuracy. I think at the same time, everything within 12 to 15 yards, he's still hitting consistently. And I think that timing and chemistry in football are unbelievably underappreciated and often unheralded elements of the game. And at some point, Russ has to get on the same page with his guys. It's not going to take a whole season. I don't believe it's going to take 8 games. I think it could potentially happen within the next game or two, potentially within the next 3 games. And I think when that happens, I would much rather be on the bandwagon before then than getting on the bandwagon once that stock is already appreciated.
I see. Well, I think that's a very dangerous line of thinking because you don't know when it's going to happen. So how about, for the sake of, for example, prediction strike shares, you can have them in your back pocket, but actually picking them to win, that's more of a pride thing. And I don't think that we should be coming to that conclusion, especially when they're facing the Chargers. It is a divisional game, so they'll try and bring out their best. But Justin Herbert has presumably fully healed from his rib injury. And Austin Ekeler just came off maybe, if not the greatest game of his career, definitely top five. And Keenan Allen, I believe, should finally be coming back after the most frustrating hamstring injury of all time that made him miss more than a month of football.
Yeah. Chargers are definitely getting healthier, definitely playing better football right now. I find it hilarious that my entire rant just now did not even mention one opponent in this game.
Because it was all in hope.
Indeed.
That's okay. You can make hope picks. You can make hope picks. It's not forbidden.
You really can. Cool. Good stuff. Yeah. Shall we move on to our playoff team predictions?
I suppose we shall. Yes, we were able to end things a bit earlier than usual, partly because we are in the beginning of our bye weeks.
Yes, those bye weeks, they'll get you some more time back in your Wednesday night, kids.
Yeah, they will.
So, who you got this week, Mr. Frumkin?
So, here's the thing, Rob. Let's not beat around the bush. Let's not do this little rhyme and dance that we're about to start. You and I have the same two teams, the same 2 weeks.
We really do. We actually do.
So, yeah, let's just be frank about it and go name one team at a time. I'll start with the Washington Commanders. Actually, now that we have some good time, I would like you, before our recorded audience, to explain the etymology of commandos. Commanders.
That's okay.
Another time, then?
Another time, then.
All right. Well, talking about their actual football is not something I want to do. And that explains why they're a worthy team to cut.
Yeah, this team is going nowhere. I mean, they were potentially still in position to be a force had they managed to just hold on against the Titans. Well, actually, I take it back. Had they managed to overtake the Titans during the final seconds of that game, but they didn't. Carson Wentz did Carson Wentz things. I think I laid into him enough last night. Y'all get the idea. Just a really bad showing. And now that they're 1-4, that's tough, man. I mean, 1-4, especially in the NFC East, that is tough. I mean, You know, this division has really, really come on strong, you know, to start the season. A lot stronger than any of us certainly thought it would, that's for sure. And I just think that they're too far behind. I just don't think they're going to be able to make up the ground.
It's insane that after only 5 weeks, there is a 3-game gap between third and fourth place in this division.
That is pretty remarkable. Like I could understand between first and fourth place, but between third and fourth place, that's just really a testament to A, how close all of these games are, and B, how much better positioned three of these teams are relative to the fourth.
In the words of Ron Rivera, quarterback.
Now that that I'm always down to rehash.
Yeah. He gave a much more eloquent, long response to a different reporter, but he did in fact just give the one word answer the other day.
Mm.
Because that is the case. And I don't think Carson Wentz has played poorly. He definitely played poorly in, say, the Eagles game. But, like, it's just about what else the other QBs have done. Jalen Hurts has been ascending.
Mm.
Daniel Jones has done as much as possible with the talent around him.
Mm.
And Cooper Rush is undefeated in his career.
He really is.
So no matter how many yards Carson Wentz is getting through the air, and I think he might still be top five in passing yards, it just doesn't hold water compared to these other three.
It really doesn't.
Yeah. So they're the write-off, and the other team we're writing off, I'll let you announce them.
The Carolina Panthers, who just fired their head coach, Matt Rhule. They are treading water in all aspects of the game. They have a quarterback who no longer is capable of playing quarterback at the NFL level.
And that was before ending up in a walking boot, for the record.
Indeed, indeed. So at least now his incapability will be masked by injury for at least the next couple of weeks. But yeah, this is a really disappointing story. It's a really disappointing story. Panthers fans all over must have thought that Matt Rhule could potentially be the guy who would come in and right the ship. Unfortunately, what none of us accounted for is that he would never have the quarterback with which to do that. And we've now seen that play out. And Baker Mayfield somehow, despite beating out Sam Darnold, is not even, it appears, good enough to lead this team to simple victories. And I just think they're toast. I think they're lost. I think they'll come out with a fire this week because, again, they fired their coach. That tends to galvanize teams, you know, if nothing else for, you know, just a brief injection of, you know, focus and discipline in practice. But I just don't think they have enough offensively. I really don't. And it's a shame too, because the defense has been trending so well, but the offense is just a train wreck. And I have a feeling that it's going to continue to be a train wreck with PJ Walker out there on Sunday.
Yet they will still beat Matthew Outhouse Stafford, according to your prediction.
Matthew Outhouse Stafford is one of the quarterbacks which they can beat, particularly if he really brings the outhouse this week.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a defensively won game.
Mm.
Offense intended to PJ Walker.
Yes, yes.
But I want to comment on an interesting observation you made that, you know, Matt Rhule never had the QB. Do you think it's just that? Or, I mean, how much of the incompetence is his fault?
I mean, I do believe there were times in which it appeared he was a bit over his head. And I'd be very curious to hear the perspective of a Panthers fan on that subject. But at the same time, you're not doing anything in this league without capable quarterback play. And it just became very clear after the last couple of games that I'm not so sure if Baker Mayfield at this point with this roster is even capable of playing quarterback at a sufficient level. He has been horrendous, and it has not been good. I mean, it's been, quite frankly, it's been the kind of season so far for them where I wonder how much you can really evaluate Matt Rhule. Now, whether you're satisfied with him during the prior seasons, you know, during which he was a head coach, whether you're, you know, counting that against him as well, you know, again, I'll leave that to a Panthers fan to comment on. for you know, they're the ones who have been watching those games. But it's just a sad story, man. You know, like, you bring in a guy who holds all this promise, who everyone was talking about as the next great offensive mind in college. And it's clear the head coaching role is just too overwhelming for him. It's just too much for him to handle. And now he's out. Baker's hurt. And I just think they've got another long season ahead of them. And I think they should be setting their sights on the draft for next year to go get a guy, because Baker is certainly not the answer. And I don't know who's coming their way during the offseason, who's already in the league.
Yeah, that's fair. Not a Panthers fan, but they were 11-29 under Matt Rhule, which is not a good record, to say the least.
Right. That's basically 11-30. Don't let the fact that there's a 2 in front of the number of losses, you know, play any subliminal mind tricks on you.
And honestly, since it's an 11, you can round that to 10. So he really only won 25% of the games as a head coach, which is
indeed
a very bad record.
Indeed.
Very bad record.
Very much so.
But, yeah, it's tough. And you would think – the reason I think that definitely some of it has to be on Matt Rhule, aside from that record, is that when you have Christian McCaffrey, even if – okay, they didn't have him for much of last year. But in this year, he's just – he's been fully healthy, but they haven't been able to – script him into success. Whereas, you know, even the Bears turned Khalil Herbert and David Montgomery into studs for like a few weeks.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, they haven't done enough with what is at their fingertips. So clearly they needed to clean house. Whether doing it in season was the right move is something, a kind of decision that's definitely above my pay grade, but I guess it's better to get rid of him than to hold on to him too long. And one might argue they already did hold on to him too long.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree with all of the above.
All right. Well, this has been it for Hitch Rat. Week 6 predictions are in the books. I look forward to recapping these matchups with you, especially the juicy, juicy game that is going to be Commandos at Bears.
Yes. Commandos at theirs. What a Thursday night feast that's going to be.
Hey, Chicago is wearing our orange alt uniforms. It can't be a bad game. The alt uniforms always make it a good game.
I might tune in just for that, honestly.
I don't even think it's that great of an alt uniform. I think I showed you during the offseason an alt helmet that I would have preferred. But, hey, they're throwing it back, doing something different.
Yes. The Bears are among the 29 teams that decided to all debut an alternate helmet this year. Definitely not groupthink or anything.
Yeah, but at least we aren't one of the 20-something teams that went with a white or a black helmet.
Oof. Man, hit him where it hurts. Hit him right where it hurts.
Yeah. Well, that's the most creative Chicago has been in a long time, so I don't think there's much to say there.
Well, what creativity has been sacrificed from the offensive headset has shown up in the marketing department.
Truly sensational.
Although there was that one year, not too long ago, while Trubisky was going off, when he was launching shuffle pass after shuffle pass to one Trey Burton, your ex-tight end. And got to be honest, that was a fun year for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and Matt Nagy, who we despise now, won Coach of the Year, man.
He really did.
He had lots of tricks up his sleeve. We went from fourth to first. We were 12-4. We had a better record than the Super Bowl winning Patriots that year.
Mm.
It was just a mirage, man.
Just a mirage.
And oh, how I wish to be back at that oasis.
Oh, how you wish.
All right. This has really been Hitch Rat. Peace out, everyone.
All right, see you guys.